Coming up on Windows Weekly, I, Micah Sargent, talk to Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley about the Microsoft event. We've got surfaces on surfaces on surfaces, and perhaps another cocktail. So stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 641, recorded Thursday, October 3rd. Pumped. This episode of Windows Weekly is brought to you by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage. Thinking about moving your data storage to the cloud? Wasabi is enterprise-class cloud storage at one-fifth the price of Amazon S3 and up to six times faster with no hidden fees for egress or API requests. Calculate your savings and try Wasabi with free unlimited storage for a month at wasabi.com, code Windows. Also brought to you by Melissa. Bad data happens to good companies. That's why 10,000 businesses count on Melissa for clean, reliable address data. Get started today with 25,000 records cleaned for free at melissa.com/twit. And by Worldwide Technology. Worldwide Technology's Advanced Technology Center is like no other testing and research lab, with more than $500 million of equipment, including solutions from key partners like Intel Corporation, and it's virtual, so you can access it 24/7. To learn more and get insights into all that it offers, go to wwt.com/twit. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Windows Weekly, the show where we take a weekly look at all things Microsoft, including Windows, Office, Xbox, and more. I'm two of the foremost Windows watchers in the world. I am Micah Sargent, and I am joined by Mary Jo Foley of All About Microsoft. Hello, Mary Jo Foley.
Hello.
And Paul Thurrott of Thurrott.com. Hello, Paul.
Hello. Hello again.
Yes, hello again. How goes it?
Since you last left us, we, as you know, we invented the cocktail. It's got off to a great start.
Yeah. I know. It's become a thing.
I'm hoping that, you know, I want to see people sending photos of themselves enjoying
We've gotten some of those.
Oh, yeah. We've gotten some.
Well, I haven't been shared on those, so I'm going to have to look
up. Oh, I'm so sorry. Sure. Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. I will do that.
No, I, in fact, I might have to make one this weekend because I needed to be reminded that recipe is out there. For folks who don't know, you're just tuning in or something. This guy didn't know what Patch Tuesday was. And I learned. And since then, I've made lots of Patch Tuesday jokes. So you two, I hope, are proud.
Good.
And now there is a Patch Tuesday cocktail. And that's because I thought that that might be what the Patch Tuesday was.
See, if we were different people, we might have done a musical number of some kind. but we feel like, you know, you play to your strengths.
Exactly. Yeah.
We do.
These are the people that we are. We are not the musical
creation. Right, right. This is who we are.
Well, Microsoft had a very interesting event, and it was chock full of new products, which was exciting. That, of course, was October 2nd, which was yesterday. Satya Nadella took the stage, sort of introduced things, and then from there, it got a little expand your mind, very creative, very filled with metaphor. And then finally, we got to see a bunch of new products,
Yeah. So did you watch the event? Did you?
Yeah, I actually covered it live here with Ann Pruitt. So we got to be part of the action a little bit.
So was this your first experience with Panos Panay and his unique presentation style? Yeah.
Yeah.
We've gotten a little tired of his children, frankly.
But I bet his children are more tired of him sending pictures of them.
Like, what's the worst thing that you can do with young adults?
A teenager?
Teenagers.
Put them on screen and put them in front of strangers. Yeah.
Share photos. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I embarrass my kids in public, too, but I don't do it in front of a live stream of, you know. Well, actually, I have done that. Never mind.
You're one of them.
One of those guys.
So that part was, because it was new to me, I was not yet jaded about the too many photos and videos of kids. But what was interesting to me was his a very particular style of communication. And I felt a little talked down to at times.
Interesting.
For the sake of the dramatic pause, it was almost as if he had a very gospel kind of vibe to him. He feels very preachery, which I found interesting.
And
that's fascinating, actually.
Yeah.
I was just his background.
Yeah.
Well, but he's unique. He is different. I mean, and there's no one else like him at Microsoft or anywhere else. For whatever it's worth, not that I'm necessarily saying you should go back and watch other presentations he's done, but he was really kind of detuned a bit on this one. He's usually a little bit more amped up, but I don't know if he had the flu or he does have young kids. They're back in school and they could be sick. You know, I don't know, but he's usually a little more amped up. And so he kind of came at it from a more, not steady is the wrong word. He's always very steady and always very calculated and you know, a good speaker in his own way. But I felt like he was a little lacking in energy, but not his fault, you know. And I think that probably changed over time. And as they got to the dual screen stuff at the end, I think it certainly amped up.
Yeah, I definitely know that he cares about the products. I found it felt very theatrical, I guess would be the word that I would use. And again, it's like, and now I am delivering the next word that came from our Lord. And then there's like all these dramatic pauses.
That's amazing. Yeah, sure.
He always is theatrical, though. That is totally his style. That's just the way he presents. Mm-hmm.
But he
maybe
made
we should have done a song and dance thing. I don't know.
He made me, you're right. Darn it! Now we got to write the Patch Tuesday musical. Darn it!
Exactly.
Patch Tuesday the musical.
I loved his. He's very hands on with the products. And there was one point where he took it and he like spun it in his fingers. And I was immediately like, I need that thing. It's so light. Mm-hmm. I need it. So I think he does a very good job about talking about the product. So, Paul, you were there, right?
We were both there, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I didn't realize that you were there in the audience. Yep. Now, did you sit next to each other?
No. We were nearby this time. Way in the back.
Okay. So you weren't passing a flask of Patch Tuesday back and forth.
We often do sit together. The seating arrangement was such, we were just a table over or whatever. We were close, but Brad, Sam's and I were stuck on a, what I would call like a Paris cafe table. You know, it's exactly big enough for one laptop. So naturally we had two ginormous laptops on it with a bunch of other equipment pushing each other off the other side, you know, trying to make it work.
Just elbows.
But whatever, you know, that's a big deal. But
yeah, let's talk about the products, right?
Yeah.
Well, what was different, though, was a lot of times when we go to these events, the press sit up front, right? Like you're in the first few rows somewhere so that you can see the stage and you can take photos and really get a full view of what's being shown. But this time we walked in and they said to us, you can sit anywhere except where there's a piece of paper on the chair, right? And so every chair had a piece of paper on it. And I was like, where
is
the press sitting, right? So we were way, way in the back. I couldn't even see the stage where I was sitting.
We should also point out to you that these things are not normally like Apple events in that there are not normally people in the audience cheering at every little thing.
Okay.
That is something that did happen this time. That's what a lot of those seats were taken up for. They allowed fans in. They clearly instructed them to clap rigorously.
Now, did I see Trevor Noah in the audience?
Yep,
yeah, he was there.
Okay.
Panos Panay's brother is in Hollywood. And so he has connections with Hollywood or whatever.
Oh, I didn't know Bradley Cooper was there.
Bradley Cooper, the actor, So, but... whatever. Anyway, I those guys were distracting. They clapped multiple times at things that didn't need to be clapped for, and I suspect next time this will not happen.
Interesting.
So, based on the conversations,
I actually don't think it's bad they brought the insiders in, but
No, that's not what I meant. I mean, they're going to be there, but they're going to be told this time. Wait for the meaningful stuff.
Clap less.
Because it was actually what the theme, as you may remember, was this. Stay in the flow or get in your flow kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean this literally. They took the Microsoft presenters out of their flow. There were at least two times where you could see it grind to a halt because they clapped in one case because a spreadsheet cell had updated as if they had never witnessed such a thing in their lives.
I clapped for that too, by the way. I don't know if you heard me, but
now
I was
wait, no. Why were we clapping to that?
Because
thank you. Well, that's the point. Why?
There's a real reason. There is a real reason.
Okay. Yep.
You couldn't use the pen to modify cells in Excel the way you can now as they showed. So I don't know if everybody understood. That's why some people were excited, but I'm not sure everybody was excited about that.
Why would that make you excited?
Because it's an enterprise thing. Oh, I never use Excel, but it's an enterprise thing.
Stop.
Okay, that was hashtagged with enterprise, and so that's why you clapped.
Exactly.
Sort of anything that falls. So I the whole time I was thinking about these updates to the subtle updates to Windows and with the new mobile stuff, and I just kept thinking, I wonder how much of this Mary Jo's not going to really even see, because it's just the words on the screen. As long as they're there, that's all that matters.
It's just a weird blue and green hand.
So all the creativity stuff with these presentations is totally lost on me. Like, I see somebody up there painting something. I'm like, yeah, some guy's painting. I don't care. Whatever. Right. Like, show me who do.
Well, actually,
it was a gal.
Okay. I don't care that they had creativity stuff. My problem is you get a guy from Adobe. Here's some context that I think almost no one understood. They have a platform called Windows 10 on ARM. It runs x86 normal Windows apps under emulation. Currently, that emulation is very slow. And so if you buy a Windows 10 on ARM device today, it's terrible, basically. So there's a new version of the chipset that makes it faster. And then Microsoft made a new version of that, which they released, they're putting in their own device. And it's specifically designed to speed the emulation of x86 apps. The idea being that you buy one of these things, you'll never notice any difference. Mm-hmm. But the little dark underbelly of this is, most apps today are 64-bit, not x86, and ARM cannot emulate those apps. And so if you get a 64-bit app like Photoshop, you cannot run it on these computers. Mm-hmm. And so they brought on Adobe, and we're thinking, here we go. They got Adobe to compile their stuff to ARM. They're going to make an ARM 64 version of Photoshop. No. What they did was they released yet another app that's yet another way to paint and draw that is not Photoshop. And I actually thought that was hugely disappointing. And then the person who was on stage drawing a picture drew a thing I wouldn't even hang on the refrigerator for my daughter had drawn she was a child. Like, it wasn't even that good. So here's what the world doesn't need, another drawing app. Okay. What the world needs is the drawing apps we already have working on the thing we're using.
Now somebody's preaching. Preach.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. You'll
know if you've watched Apple events, there has been some Adobe stuff with iPad Pro and blah, blah, blah. And they've talked recently about bringing Photoshop to iPad.
But they have
real
yet.
Photoshop. Right. I don't think it has happened. Yeah. Right.
And we're like, where
but in
is
the past,
it?
But Photoshop, Adobe has come up with all these apps for mobile that have, and everyone's like, yeah, that's cute. But what we want is the real thing. And it still hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. So that was the disappointment there. Like, the notion that we can draw on a screen with a pen is not new to Windows. We've had that since 2002. What we have not had is Photoshop runs on Intel tablets, so that's fine. But what we don't have on Windows 10 on ARM is the ability to run that app. It just doesn't work. It's 64-bit. That was a smokescreen. It was a complete waste of time, because all it really did was highlight the fact that the thing everyone who uses a pen on a computer really wants is Photoshop or the other Adobe CC apps.
The whole kit and caboodle.
None of those work on Windows 10 on ARM, and that's the problem.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So I did not consider it from that angle.
Oh, I don't think almost anyone did. I don't think, I would say 90-something% of the people who watched that show and loved it or didn't love it, doesn't matter, had no idea that's kind of the undercurrent of this story. Mm-hmm. So it's just an unfortunate reality, you know. So they've maybe solved the performance problems. I mean, we only played with them for a few minutes. It seems pretty good, to be honest. But that compatibility issue with 64-bit apps and also with hardware drivers has not been solved. And so that's something you got to keep in mind anytime you have a conversation about the ARM-based version of Windows or that Surface Pro X device, which runs on that platform. Sorry to rain on it.
No. That's, I mean, hey, Adobe has been pushing that Fresco app for a while, ever since this has come out. And it just came out on iOS as well. And so I'm not surprised that they had somebody on stage sort of, look, it can do vector sketches and things like that. But
yeah,
we should, you know, they did announce a bunch of new products. And it starts with, what, the Surface Pro 7?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, they peeled back the fabric.
That's on the laptop.
Right. The Surface. Yeah, this is a Surface tablet. There we go. Okay, Surface Pro 7. This is
the least interesting announcement.
USB-C,
from the day, right?
That's what we were excited about.
They added USB-C. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's the least interesting is because this is their most popular product. it's the kind of iconic Surface device. It's the one that got them started, and et cetera, et cetera. It is virtually identical to its predecessor, aside from the internals. And that's, I mean, that in good and bad ways. I mean, people expect the compatibility across generations, et cetera. And so that's good. But, you know, really big bezels, relatively thick compared to the X, which is a new device. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's like we have a Surface Pro. Now we have another one, you know. So it's kind of like the Apple iPod, iPad generations where, you know, if the normal iPads in recent years, they finally lowered the bezels. But when they went from fourth to fifth gen or whatever it was, you know, they added pencil support 1 year, but it was otherwise identical. And it was like, you know, like whatever. This is like that. So it's kind of a minor update.
Yeah. Gotcha. And, you know, earlier in the year, there was a rumor that Microsoft was going to completely redesign the Surface Pro and that the product, codenamed Carmel, I believe, was going to be coming out this holiday season. So now that's been postponed, we believe. And this instead is kind of like the stopgap continuation of the Pro family.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't mean to be negative about that. Honestly, the Pro is a great device. Mm-hmm. And it's probably what a lot of people still want. The problem is right next to it. Now they have this X and it's beautiful and it's super thin and super light. And it has those compatibility issues I mentioned earlier. So there's kind of a trade-off in either direction. But when you put them side by side, I mean, the new one looks like this gorgeous, modern, crazy, you know, really nice thing. And then the other one, it's like by comparison, it's like, oh yeah, that's a little dated looking all of a sudden.
So who's the Surface Pro 7 for?
I'd say customers, right?
Yeah, I was going to say previous gen Surface owners. I mean, I think it's for people who have a 3 or a 4 and they've been holding on to it for, you know, 3, 4, whatever number of years, and they want to keep using their existing peripherals. You know, they might have a pen, a type cover, a dock, or whatever, the power adapter, whatever it is, and they can just swap out the machine and everything else still works, you know. And it provides all that stuff that they were using before. All the stuff that's great about Surface Pro obviously continued, so it's just a more modern device, and the innards are much better. I mean, one of the complaints I had about Surface over the past couple of years was like, they really seem to be moving slowly, releasing new versions of these devices. Like, it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
And they kind of explained it at the show, not at the event, but, you know, behind the scenes later, they were saying, you know, we were waiting on these Ice Lake 10 nanometer Intel processors. And they provide a like, not order of magnitude, but gigantic performance improvements, especially with graphics. Graphics are literally 2x over the previous generation. And so, you know, here you have this thing that looks exactly the same, but hiding underneath are these dramatically improved innards. And so that, you know, that will matter to people for sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So this was something that nobody was expecting. Mm-hmm. And that is the Surface Pro. And this is confusing for me coming from Apple. Surface Pro X, not the Surface Pro 10.
Nah, we knew it was coming.
Now, okay, wait, hold on. Because I was surprised.
We should tell you. We should tell you up front. We knew everything they were going to announce ahead of time. Except for one thing, which was the phone. And we actually knew they were working on a phone too. But I will say the date of the announcement, the fact that it had dual screens and then the branding were unknown to me at least. And I, you know, it was a little bit of a surprise. But as far as this thing goes, I mean, we knew they were working on it.
We knew there was going to be an ARM-based new Surface, right? What everybody thought was going to be based on Qualcomm 8CX, that processor.
Right.
And instead it's based on a custom version of that processor co-developed by Microsoft and Qualcomm. So slightly different from what we thought, but we all knew ARM was coming.
That got me excited. I love the idea of a company creating its own chips. And I realize it's based on a design that exists and made custom, but oh, cool. Microsoft has their own chip now. That's interesting. That's fun.
I think what you're hitting on is actually the most important thing for the whole day. And it's not this particular chip. It's the range of chips that they're co-designing. So it's that whole LNK thing. If you're serious about software, you have to make your own hardware. And so I think a lot of people think that means, oh, look, we made a phone or we made a laptop or whatever it is. And it's like, it's not just that. Like, it's these customized chips. You know, Google has Pixel Visual Core in their phones. It does something special for photos. Apple obviously has all kinds of special chips now, including a brand new one in the iPhone 11. Microsoft had a, whatever the special sensor they created for previous generation Surface Pro that made the pen work better with that particular device. So there was less latency, and that continued forward over the past couple of years. Now they have three, if I remember correctly, I think three new co-designed pieces of unique silicon that will only appear in their devices, this being one of them, right? And so this is fascinating because Qualcomm specifically engineered the 8CX to emulate the performance of a Core i5 and provide that level of performance that was missing from the platform previously. And very clearly, Microsoft looked at it and said, yep, that's not good enough. We need to do this other thing. And they built off of it.
Mm-hmm. But wasn't also part of the reason they redid this chip to improve the emulation of apps?
That's what it was for. Yeah, that's how they changed.
Yeah.
In other words, they specifically engineered it to run emulated x86 apps faster. Mm. That was the change. It wasn't just raw performance. You know, ARM chips have unique types of cores, and they're different from Intel chipsets, and they have different kinds of cores. They don't just have multiple cores; it's different kinds of cores. And so, when you're emulating something that runs on a completely different architecture, they said, "Look, we have to make changes for that to even make sense." Unfortunately, at the detriment of battery life, right? So, previous gen and probably 8CX computers get 20 to 22 hours of battery life. And so the assumption here was, well, obviously this thing will get over 20 hours of battery life. It doesn't. They said, what'd they say? 13 hours. 13 hours is great, but that shows you the problem.
But it's not going to be 13 hours.
Okay, but I'm just comparing A to A here, the rating to the rating. So, it's not quite, it's better than half,
My guess is that machine will, I'm going to guess 7 hours. 7 hours.
Wow, 7.
I'm going to guess closer to 10, but I...
It's hold on, let me write that down. Write that down. We got 10 hours for Paul, 7 hours for Mary Jo.
Well, to be clear, generous. We mean... This is real world battery, right?
Exactly.
So in other words, not running video.
Not all day, scare quotes, times 12 or on the outside.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Okay, let's say 7 to 10 is still, for most people...
Yeah.
All day
if it even gets 7 hours, I will be excited. I have no Windows device that gets 7 hours of battery life, ever. Never even have had one, ever.
Okay, I do, but whatever.
Which ones is that, Paul?
There are many of them. Well, the Surface Laptop 2 gets 10 hours, over 10 hours of real-world battery life. The Surface Book 2 gets more than that. The HP EliteBook X360 gets 13 or 4. I don't remember the exact number. I mean,
13.
There are many PC laptops that get double-digit hours of real-world battery life. There are.
You're not running in dark mode. That's your problem.
That must be it.
That's why.
You know, Notepad, guys, you think it's a simple, low-key app, but it must really drain that battery.
This is Office. It's Photoshop. It's normal web browsers. I mean, it's just...
I use Notepad, and I use TweetDeck very heavily, and I have never... on the HP Elite... I think it's the Elite Book that Paul loaned me that I have now. I get about 6.5 hours on that. Yep.
Well, we'll run a battery life report on your computer and find out what the real number is. But for now, anyway, it doesn't matter what we see. The point is, this thing gets a lot less battery life than other ARM-based Windows PCs. Yep. I think this is an acceptable trade-off because running something so slowly that it's unusable for a long period of time is useless. Mm-hmm. It's better to have the performance. I think Microsoft understands that. I'm sure there will be further tweaks to this chipset as they evolve it over time. And maybe that will improve, whatever. But even if they maintain that, I think it's good. What was the, do you remember, Mary Jo, what their battery life claim was for the laptop or the Surface Pro 7?
Around 11, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So it doesn't matter how fake we think these numbers are. You can still compare them head to head. And so 13 is still better than 11, whatever the real numbers are.
I see. Their estimate has gone up. So regardless of what the actual number might be,
so there's still a 20% benefit, whatever it is, right? Yeah. So it's still there. And then there are the other inherent benefits of the ARM platform, the instant on stuff. One of the things they talked about was how, you've got it's a 2-in-1. So you pull the keyboard cover down. And as it's coming down, the screen lights up, the camera sees you, recognizes you. And by the time the keyboard cover actually hits the desk, you're already signed in and on the desktop because that happens really quickly.
That's with Windows Hello, right?
With Windows Hello, that's right. Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
And there you go. I mean, that's really nice. I mean, that doesn't always happen on a PC. It's not that they're super slow signing in or anything like that, but you know, sometimes you open it. Like I open my Surface Book and sometimes it doesn't even come on. You hit the power button and you wait. And then the screen flashes and it comes on. It's quick, but it doesn't have that kind of instant on thing always, you know. Mm-hmm. And right. So ARM will provide that. It's a benefit.
Well, I do want to talk too about the integrated AI engine, but I need to take a quick break right quick. tell you about.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. Oh, God. Can we take a break? To tell you about Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, which is helping to bring this episode of Windows Weekly. Now, according to industry-leading market research firm Gartner Group, by 2025, 80% of enterprises will have shut down their traditional data center versus 10% today. Data storage is a massive concern. There will be an estimated 163 zettabytes. Wow. By 2025, that's 21 zeros for those who are counting. A lot of data. Well, companies will need to store all of their stuff in the cloud, but there are a lot of concerns. There's all sorts of issues with the technology that's here and the technology that's coming, and Wasabi addresses those concerns with disruptive technology that's turning the industry on its ear. Wasabi is enterprise-class cloud storage that's 80% cheaper, 6 times faster. It's just as secure and in some cases even more secure than on-premise storage. It's HIPAA, FINRA, and CJIS compliant. You can calculate savings for yourself and start a free trial of unlimited storage for a month. You just head to wasabi.com, you click the free trial link, and enter the code WINDOWS. Join the movement and migrate your data to the cloud with confidence. All you got to do is head to wasabi.com. Make sure to use the offer code WINDOWS. I want to thank Wasabi for their support of Windows Weekly. All right, so I'm looking. Am I looking at the camera? Am I looking below the camera? Am I looking at the screen? My eyes. What are they doing? I don't have this integrated AI.
Do you think the code name of this engine was like Deep Fake?
Oh, probably. Yeah. So this was. Here's an important thing to note. While they're talking about this, the new chip that's custom designed, Microsoft SQ1, with an integrated AI engine. This was an example of what an integrated AI engine can do. Apple has done this with FaceTime. It's a feature that they use the sensors that are on the front of the camera to know where your eyes are and sort of adjust them up. And I have to tell you, on FaceTime, it's the creepiest thing because it sort of makes your eyes dead. And
I thought the example he showed was kind of creepy, too.
It was creepy, but I was... whether it was, real or not, or sort of doctored, I don't know. But it was actually a little bit better than what Apple was doing with FaceTime. So I found that interesting. The eyes didn't feel as dead and sort of locked in, where on FaceTime, it's like just looking directly at you. With an AI engine, it's there's so much more than just like features that it can bring. It also means that the chip can, in theory, get smarter about how it's spinning up and spinning down processes, which improves battery life and things like that. So this is kind of a big deal. Like, we see more and more companies really turning to adding these custom chips that help with all aspects of your processing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, this is huge. This is what's going to separate the companies that will still be around making hardware in 4 or 5 years from those that won't, all the big hardware companies, and not that Microsoft is even necessarily a big hardware company, but, Apple, Samsung, Huawei, trying to think if there's anyone else off the top of my head, but, those guys are all working on custom chips. I mean, that's the differentiation. Mm-hmm. It's weird when you're a platform maker that has partners, and that's Google and Microsoft, right? So here we have, the HCX versus the SQ1 is a good example of that. HP, Dell, Lenovo, et cetera, these other companies are going to be selling computers based on this Qualcomm chipset that everyone promised was going to be the next big thing. And Microsoft has already one-upped them with their own custom version of it. It's kind of weird because Microsoft partners with those companies to provide Windows, obviously, and yet they're also selling this competing device that now has this weird little advantage. So that gets them into an interesting thing, and PCs are a very low margin business too. I mean, this kind of raises the specter of the original problem with Surface right back from 2012, I think it was, which is, why would Microsoft partner with the companies that brought it to such great fame and fortune, and now that PCs aren't necessarily the greatest business in the world, I mean, now they're really raising the bar on that. I wonder what impact this will have, if any, on the PC industry.
When they said AI engine inside the first thing I thought about was the HoloLens 2, which also has a processor with AI as well, right? So, you know, if you think about what, when does Microsoft talk about processors with AI being in devices as something different? That's when they talk about the intelligent edge stuff. So, you know, the demo they did with Stevie Batiche, you know, and his eyes moving or not moving and such. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's one application for this, but I'm curious what else they've got up their sleeves, right?
It's about so much more than this. I feel like this was kind of, in my opinion, particularly for a group of folks who are probably not looking for those features. I mean, because how they had to push it, it's like the best thing you can do between humans is connect. And how do you connect by looking at me? And,
right, you know, they were stretching.
They had to put all this ahead. And it's just
like when you're watching TV and you see the reflection of someone in the window on your TV and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, how about we just talk about the great things that AI can do for, like I said, the performance boost.
Well, I will say, Mary Jo mentioned the intelligent edge, and to date, Microsoft's marketing on that, or the way they've kind of described that, is this notion of AI processing occurring on the client, whatever it is. It could be some tiny little embedded chipset or whatever, and that there are benefits of that. I mean, the full power of AI occurs when it's connecting to a cloud service, but a lot of times these things can work offline, if that makes sense, in whatever scenario. Disconnected from whatever the data source is. And they have a certain amount of intelligence, you know, that's the intelligent edge. And so when he mentioned intelligent edge a couple of times, I was a little bit confused because I was thinking, this is a laptop, they work offline. I don't get it. What's he talking about? Mm. But this is in some ways an expansion of the notion of what it means to be an intelligent edge device, which is itself a marketing term, but all PCs obviously have awesome processing power, et cetera, et cetera. But I sort of, thinking about it later, it's like this is an expansion of what I would have assumed the definition of intelligent edge was.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. I agree that there's probably more to come. Like, in other words, that suggests this is a step and there will be more steps.
Yeah. That's what the most important thing to me there is. Yeah, we got a first look at it, but I can't wait. We can't wait to see what else will happen in that.
I should say on that previous thing I was talking about with Microsoft kind of competing with their partners. I did talk to some folks from Microsoft after the event and kind of raised the notion of, you know, you're doing more and more stuff that differentiates your hardware from other PC makers' hardware. Are you going to license this to your PC maker partners as well?
Interesting.
And there was no comment on that at this time.
What do you bet?
Yeah. I bet no. But I also wonder if, you know, remember when Surface came out and there were certain PC makers that were very vocal about how terrible it was that Microsoft was competing with them. If that type of thing were to happen again, or maybe even some of them got together and kind of publicly said, hey, look, what you're doing here is kind of crappy, because, you know, you could make that argument. Maybe they would, you know. I mean, they're such an ethical company. It seems like, you know.
But why couldn't the other OEMs make chips? Dell, HP, right? They could do it too.
They could, but Microsoft could just license it. In other words, why couldn't the other OEMs make Windows, I guess, right? I mean, they could, but they choose to pay for that kind of thing, right? So.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, Microsoft is a software maker, essentially, and here they are making custom hardware that might be desirable to these companies that have been making hardware for decades and decades in many cases. So it's a good, it's a solid question. Why didn't they do this before or something like this before? Why did it take Microsoft to come up with this? I bet it part of the answer, honestly, is because those guys never did do anything like this. Remember, this is the historic back and forth between Microsoft and these companies. When Windows 8 came out, or tablet PCs came out, or Media Center PCs came out, whatever it was, Microsoft was like, look, this is what these things should look like. This is what they should do. And the PC makers were like, we'll do our own thing. We'll make a tower. You know, we make towers. That's what we do.
How are we feeling about the clicky, flippy bits of this Surface Pro 10? We've got a place to store a new pin that they've made.
Yeah.
And sort of flipping that thing all over the place.
I like that a lot.
The only
downside is they had to make it a flat kind of carpenter's pencil type pen, mm-hmm. and it's a little more awkward to hold in your hand. When you have a cylindrical pen, it's more like a pen,
Right.
Some of them have been a little hard edged or whatever, octagons or something, but putting something in the keyboard, I mean, they're not the first to do it. Samsung has a device that does this. I think Apple sells a cover for their iPads that probably does the same thing or does something similar. It's a good idea.
I think it's a great
idea.
They tried everything else. The stowaway method is really nice. Yes, stronger magnets. And the fact that it was charging the whole time, it's kept there.
And then there was the pen loop. Remember the pen loop?
Yeah, but the problem with that is it's like an add-on thing that kind of ruins the aesthetic of the device, right? So
please, my beautiful pen, do not ruin it with your loop.
You know the phrase like, the best camera is the one you have with you at the time or whatever. Mm-hmm. The worst pen is the one you have, but you can't find because it fell out of your bag and it's gone. And you wanted to use it, but now it's gone. So that's smart. I think that's cool. And hopefully they'll add something like that to the... Mm-hmm. The pro
so
or whatever.
Specifically speaking to the two of you, Mary Jo, we'll start with you. How often do you use one of these Microsoft devices, or have you used one of these Microsoft devices and used pin input?
Zero.
Zero?
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
Nope.
Now, Paul?
Yeah. Zero.
Wow. So
I went to art school.
What?
Okay. Yeah. So I am so far removed from writing anything with my hand that I use this example all the time because it's classic and easily understood, but it's true. My hand cramps up before I'm done writing a check.
Oh my God.
I can't write. I type for a living. That's why I use a keyboard.
Yeah.
So,
but that's even though both of us are zero, there are definitely people, we hear from them every day, who use the pen a lot.
Oh, for sure. Right? Yeah. We don't want to. Yeah. Definitely not giving the impression. In fact, my pal Ant Pruitt, is a Windows aficionado and loves stylus input that he has with like Wacom accessories. So to have this actually as part of the process, I think is great.
Just as from the history of Surface kind of perspective, obviously in the beginning, the Surface always shipped with a pen. And the way they do it now is you buy it separately because most people just don't want it or use it. And you're just adding cost to the device when you include it. But yes, obviously there are major use cases for this that span both work and personal, whatever. And the Surface Pen technically is excellent. It's roughly on par with what Apple has with the Apple Pencil from a latency perspective and also from a it feels like I'm really writing on paper perspective. That's nice. When you're writing on a glass screen, it supports all the multiple thousands of points of pressure. It does the shading thing if you pull it on the side or whatever. So it's very sophisticated. It works great. It's just not something I need or want personally. Mm-hmm. But I'm not belittling its use. I mean, it's obviously people love it and need it in many cases.
So I asked you before, who was the Surface Pro 7 for? Who is the Surface Pro 10 for?
DX.
Oh, yeah. See? Look.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, and it's confusing. We got to throw this in here. By the way, Surface Pro X does not run Windows 10 X.
I've taken to calling that Windows Dos Equis. Actually, so
we call it Windows 10 10.
Yeah,
Windows 10 10.
So this is the set. So Mary Jo and I have covered Microsoft for many years, and Mary Jo even longer than I. And I think we can both agree that this is the central awesomeness of Microsoft, that they would think to ship two products with the same names on the same day and have them not work with each other is the most beautiful Microsoft thing that has ever occurred. It's perfect. Yep.
So who's it for? The Surface Pro X, not Surface Pro 10.
So question.
It's for mobile people who really care a lot about mobility and battery life, right? And if you're somebody who doesn't really care, well, the other question is the apps, right? Because if there are certain apps, like Paul was saying, Photoshop and a lot of things that have not been compiled for ARM processors and you need those in your workflow, you're not going to use that device. This would be the perfect thing, right? The Surface Pro X.
Ooh.
For me.
Okay.
Really? But you have a big lappability issue with Surface Pro.
Right. So, I mean, I like the designs. I like the tech specs of the Surface Pro X, but you're right. The actual way it has to sit with the kickstand, that's not usable.
The kickstand's very thin. Very, very thin. Yeah. And yeah, I could see a huge issue with flappability.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. The whole thing is very thin.
So I will say, I mean, obviously, a 2-in-1 type device lends itself to creative professionals or just creative people who want to draw or take notes. You know, even, you know, yeah, you could use it in a work situation, just taking notes or annotating documents or whatever it might be. But honestly, you know, a couple of years back, I don't remember exactly when they started marketing it as a laptop, right? It's kind of flipping the script on what the original marketing was for this device. Remember, it was the tablet that can replace your laptop. A couple of years back, they started referring to it as a laptop. Now, I would imagine that much like taking the pen out of the package, that had to do with real world observation of what people were doing with the devices. So people are using it like a laptop. And it will work fine that way, unless you have to put it on your lap, and unless you have very long upper legs, I guess. But I have a hard time doing that with Surface Pro. Mary Jo, it does. I think a lot of people do. But obviously on a desk, whatever. I will say there is something special about this device in the sense that it's a 12-inch form factor with 13-inch screen, small bezel, super, super light. It is full Windows with a little asterisk, right, for the 64-bit thing. So it's probably more applicable to normal work type things than like an iPad Pro would be, or even a Chromebook or whatever. It's, you know, it's a premium device. It's going to appeal to people that are kind of fashion conscious or want the big new thing or whatever. It is somewhat ironic or maybe detrimental that it doesn't run some of the core creativity apps, you know, the Adobe stuff. That's a problem. And again, that's why they yanked Adobe out on stage, you know, explain yourself.
Yeah. Why won't this work?
I mean, they're working with them on it. It's a hard thing. I mean, I think people have this misunderstanding. They can bring up the Adobe Photoshop code base in, you know, Visual Studio, whatever they use, and just recompile with, you know, check the ARM box and everything's going to work fine. It's a little more complicated than that. And then actually Microsoft noted to us that there's a huge ecosystem of plugins for Adobe Photoshop in particular that wouldn't make the journey, even if Photoshop itself worked. Those would also have to be redone for ARM. So there's no easy solution. I think this is a view of the future, though, right? Don't you think they're going to do Pro? I mean, they'll do an Intel Pro eventually like this, I think.
You know, somebody yesterday, I forget who we heard this from, said, you know what, how I think of the Pro X? I think of it as Surface Go for business users. And I'm like, yeah, kind of, right? In terms of being
to the X, I mean,
portable. In terms of being portable.
For sure.
Something from mobile professionals who want something really thin and light. I think that was the thinking.
Right. So I think in the Apple world, people who have adopted like an iPad Pro with the keyboard cover, smart cover, whatever they call it, smart keyboard.
Yeah, that's it. That was the one.
Probably appreciate the portability of that thing. They flip it up. It's a little portfolio thing. They carry it around. They don't have a bag. It's super light. The battery lasts forever. It doesn't run some of the apps you're used to, maybe, if you're like a Mac guy or whatever. Like, it doesn't, it's not quite the same. Obviously, it doesn't have a mouse or whatever. And I think the Pro X is a little bit like that. It's it doesn't run some of the apps. You know, obviously, it has the mouse or the touchpad, whatever. But it's, my God, it's so thin and light. Like, it's neat. It's like the future. It's a little early, you know, for most people. But for some people who are like browsing the web and using Office and doing email and stuff, it's all that stuff's going to work great. So, you know, battery life is good. I know it's not as great. It's not the 20-hour thing we had hoped for, but, it's a little bit better, you know? So
it's the keyboard, we should note on the Surface Pro X only works on the Surface Pro X. And so your existing Microsoft Touch keyboards and Type keyboards don't work.
It's a break.
They spent a good amount of time talking about the keyboards and, in fact, really hammered home that point with the Surface Laptop 3.
Yeah. They don't want people to misunderstand that. One thing real quick on the Pro X that I think is kind of interesting. If this were the profile of it, and it's not, but this is a phone, and it's actually, this is probably thicker than that device. You know, the kickstand kind of comes out of the back like this, right? Mm-hmm. So on all other Surface Pros, the power connector is down here, but because this thing is so thin, they can't even fit the power connector down there. They had to put it higher on the device. And it's also why it only has USB-C. They can't fit a USB-A port on it. That's how thin it is. And I really, this is a futuristic design. It may be a little early. It's the reason why they didn't just replace Surface Pro with it. It's not ready.
That makes sense.
So there are some people that can, they'll look at that and say, I don't care. It does what I want. It's fine. It's probably kind of a small market right now, but want to get it out there. You know, iterate and we'll see. And you know, I think there'll probably be an Intel version of that eventually, or that thing gets improved to the point where they don't need it, and that will become Surface Pro.
I like that. It's sort of iterating out and open. Before we move on to talk about the Surface Laptop 3, I do want to tell you about the leader in address verification. It's Melissa. Every address is covered from Adelaide, Australia to Zipaquirá, Colombia, and everywhere in between. We all know there's nothing good about bad data. It costs money, it hurts sales, and decreases customer satisfaction. If bad addresses, duplicate records, and bouncing emails are hurting your business, well, isn't it time to clean them with Melissa? Delta Faucet, Z1 Motorsports, and Car2Go use Melissa, and you should too. Delta Faucet was able to improve their call center processes with global address auto completion. Melissa was able to reduce the fraudulent e-commerce transactions for Z1 Motorsports by 90%. While Melissa provides a full spectrum of data quality protection for your customer data, you can verify postal addresses, mobile numbers, and email addresses, so that way you know you've got what you need, and you're eliminating duplicate records, you're eliminating the customers that aren't there anymore. You can gain additional customer insight into your data with Melissa's analytics. Now, Melissa is serious about securely managing your data. They continually undergo independent security audits to reinforce their commitment to data security, privacy, and compliance requirements. That's SOC 2, HIPAA, and GDPR compliant. And mailers, guess what? They spend about $20 billion. Let's go back. $20 billion annually in undeliverable mail. You don't want to lose customers, and you don't want to lose cash. So you got to make every address count. Bad data happens to good companies. That's why 10,000 organizations worldwide trust Melissa to get their customer data clean and accurate. You can get started today with 25,000 records cleaned for free at melissa.com/twit. Head there, get your data cleaned up. 25,000 records cleaned free. That's melissa.com/twit or call 1-800 Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, to find out more. Thank you so much, Melissa. Now, it's time for the Surface Laptop 3. We've got a 15-inch model, not just the normal 13-inch, some AMD processors, and a pretty... Now I can finally make the joke about peeling off the fabric. We've got a metal, what is it, aluminium finish chassis. Oh.
We don't use the aluminium word here, but
okay, I see.
No, it's okay.
This comes in multiple colors too, which I think is kind of that's fun.
This one's confusing. This happens to be my personal favorite of the. In fact, I was just thinking when you were doing the ad, you know, Mary Jo and I haven't really added it up, but I think we split down the line. If you were to name, you know. I'm really happy about this one thing. And she's like, it's not that big of a deal. And then she's like, oh, I really think this is great. I'm like, that's not really it. It's funny because, you know, Mary Jo, I don't believe, thinks much of Surface Laptop. But I obviously, when you come out with something that looks exactly like a MacBook Air 10 years later, you have to differentiate it in some way. And actually, no, you don't. A lot of PC makers didn't, but whatever. Microsoft decided they would try to differentiate it. So the Alcantara thing was... depending on your opinion and experience, either the greatest thing that has ever happened to laptops or a huge mistake.
I want to meet that person that says it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to laptops.
Well, you know what? So the interesting thing is I have two of them, right? So I have both generations of Surface Laptop. The older one, which I've used more than the newer one, I've never had any issues with the Alcantara. The newer one, which I've used less than the older one, has a huge smudge. Like it's like I'm the greasiest ape that has ever graced the earth. Like, I didn't purposely rub Cheetos into it. I don't know how this happened, but so I don't know. I've heard a lot of complaints from people. The other issue, of course, with Surface Laptop is serviceability. So to get into the internals of the device, By the way, I learned something yesterday, Mary Jo, that when they were talking about the screws and everything, you know, the reason that PC makers have gone with these non-serviceable devices is to make them thinner. Because just like to make it so you can open it with a tool, you actually have to have screws, which means you have to have room for screws to screw into something, which means it has to be a certain thickness. That's why they. That's why these things like Apple devices and the Surface devices are built the way they're built. And so this time around, they were like, look, you know, we have to offer some way to get into this thing. So they built screws into the feet in this case. And then to not to have to destroy the device to take off the carpet thing. And so it's a little different this time around. So I mean, I looked at that 15-inch thing and what I see there is a more affordable MacBook Pro with a real good keyboard and running Windows, which I prefer. And to me, like, this is the most excellent laptop I've ever seen. Mm. To Mary Jo, I'm guessing not so much.
Yeah, Mary Jo, tell us. Tell us your feels.
So, you know what? So I think Surface laptop looks pretty, but I don't feel like it's the best laptop out there. It's just a nice laptop. Like, when I heard Microsoft was going to make a clamshell laptop, I got excited, right? Because I'm like, this is going to be the ultimate, most amazing laptop for Windows users on the market. And it's not. It's not.
Well, I mean,
it's
I think
an
it
okay
might be
laptop.
Now.
It's an okay laptop.
Let me sell it to you. It has 200% more ports than before.
Wow. How many did they have before, Paul?
One.
Yeah.
Now they have two. So, well, three if you count the Surface Connect port. But
but do we count the Surface Connect port, Paul?
No,
we
don't.
No.
No.
Right.
No, we don't. You know what? First of all, perfect typing experience, perfect trackpad.
Yeah, 20% larger. Screen. Let's not forget that trackpad.
Yeah. So that I kind of like that in theory, the much bigger trackpad. But then I also worry, like, is it really going to get in my way? I don't know.
Here's what I would like you to do. I mean, and I mean this seriously. Mary Jo doesn't really review a lot of laptops or anything, really.
I've done a couple.
Right.
Just but that Cortana when they speaker, come to that's you, like the only thing you review.
Right. You should review this device.
Yeah.
You really should.
I should.
I think it might win you over, because for whatever technical complaints people have made over the years, including myself, I mean, I've been a big complainer about the lack of Thunderbolt 3 on Surface computers. The thing is, there's this special something about them that makes them special, I guess.
So
and it
remember,
is that combination of the keyboard.
Can we pause for a second? Because that was a very touching moment from Paul, which I don't think happens all that often. There's something very special about this device that is just special. That was good. I felt there was some warmth there.
You felt the love.
Yeah.
Okay. You may be onto something. And the reason I say that is oftentimes with tech reviews or technical products, when you're talking about them, it's this sum of specs and you know, features and things. And it is a more emotional than practical thing in some ways. Although, again, like, I think the typing experience is perfect. I think the touchpad is, to date, the ones I've had have been perfect. I think the screen they have is perfect. Those things all come together, and there is a sense of this sum being bigger than the total. I don't know how these phrases work. Anyway, there's something special. It's hard for me to explain. I try to be a little more logical usually, but
so what was the Surface laptop I got and I brought to Amsterdam? Was that the two or the first?
You Surface brought laptop? It was the first Surface laptop. That's right. But it was running in S mode, and you remember at the time you were like, I'm going to try to do this just in S mode.
Yeah. So the S mode part didn't matter at all. The hardware for me, it was just
scratched.
Like any old laptop, and it scratched.
Can we say, just like pretend that there might be someone out there who might not know what S mode is? Don't know who that person is, but could you tell that person what S mode is?
There's a cocktail called S mode.
You're right. So it's a bitter, bitter stew. Microsoft has, God, how do we? We only have 2 hours. Microsoft, look, Microsoft has this legacy operating system called Windows, and it's this spaghetti nonsense. It's, you know, it's legacy software. They've been trying to get past it forever, and they can't because everyone wants to run those apps, Photoshop and Office and all the stuff they've been running since the 90s. And they have the ability to make a more modern, streamlined, light, battery, you know, friendly operating system. It's just that nobody wants the new thing. They want Windows, you know. And so they've tried over the years various schemes to make a more modern version of Windows. And so Windows RT was the first attempt with Windows 8. It was a ARM-based solution that didn't run desktop apps, and it failed. And then more recently, they've tried S mode, Windows 10S at first, and then S mode. It's a mode of Windows 10 where it does not allow you to download or install desktop applications from the web. You can only run what comes on it or store apps.
It's limited because you can only use store apps.
And that's yeah. That is why is that good?
No, it's terrible.
Yep. Oh, okay. So it's,
no, well, the no, reason you know it's what, good is because store apps, well, respect the system security. They are reliable over the long term. The system doesn't degrade performance-wise over time.
So it's sort of mimicking what words, Apple does with the Mac App Store, but it just is locked actually down to that.
It's the other way around. But yes, actually Microsoft did it first with the store, but it doesn't. But yes.
Well, sorry. So, I don't need those emails. Okay. I'm sorry.
No. It's okay. Yeah. The point is, Apple has the same problem Microsoft does with the Mac, right? And so they approach it their way. Microsoft has tried two different ways. So I would say ARM is another example of this, right? So ARM, same thing. It's like Windows Desktop, but it doesn't run some of the apps. You know, it's a little strange. We'll see. We'll see where it takes us. Well, Windows 10X is another version of this. It runs Windows desktop applications in containers. And there's another way respect the legacy past. We'll get to that. Anyway.
Yeah.
So S mode, when the Surface laptop first came out, Mary Jo got the laptop, brought it to Amsterdam.
Yep.
She hated it because she doesn't like pretty things that the work well.
And
So the truth is, I thought it was fine. I thought I had used many laptops that were better. There was nothing to distinguish it at all. Nothing. It was nice. It was a laptop. It had a fuzzy cover, which I kind of hated, but
You can snuggle it. You can't snuggle me. What's the snuggability factor?
So most Surface devices are made out of magnesium. And they don't color them in any way. So the nice thing about magnesium is that if you scratch it, it's like polycarbonate. In that the material is through and through. So if you scratch it and it's a gray color, you don't scratch down the silver. It's gray inside. Mm-hmm. So there's a scratch, but it's hidden a little bit. Surface laptop has always been made out of aluminum. And so like other aluminum laptops that are colored, of course, it's basically painting. They call it anodizing or whatever, but they paint a color onto it. And when you scratch that, what you scratch down to is silver, and it looks terrible. Right. It's like when you get in a car accident or something.
They don't do anymore, though, do they?
Yeah, they do. But they're not. It's a better process now. So the one that she got, the first one, it got really scratched up, and it was just from her putting it in her bag. Like she didn't.
Well,
so
that's what we think anyway. I mean, it sounds like she didn't like it very much, so she may have mistreated it.
She's like, it's not as good as other laptops. Yeah. I don't know.
You know what? So at the event, let me say something about Surface design. Mm-hmm. At the event, I got to hold the 15-inch Surface Laptop 3, and I wanted to see if it was lappable, right? Like, that was the first thing I was like, let me see. Finally, are they making a lappable system finally?
Of course it's lappable.
Surface Laptop has not been lappable up till now for me. It has not. It was not properly weighted or something, and I'm like, it doesn't really work. So I put the AMD based Surface Laptop 3 on my lap, and the first thing I noticed is it was so slippery. And I looked on the bottom and I'm like, it's perfectly smooth. That's not what a laptop should be. A laptop should have something to grab you so that it doesn't fall off your legs. So I feel like Microsoft makes trade-offs to make things beautiful, but they don't make them practical.
So they didn't put any grippies on the bottom?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
They don't have feet. I mean, there's rubber feet.
Okay.
Yeah, but it didn't really hold it.
Well, that's all that this laptop has. It's just four rubber feet on the bottom.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like.
Because where do you think they got the design from?
Oh, God.
I didn't get to type on it. But I felt like it was at least properly weighted, which is a first. Yeah. That's good.
I think that was important, that the weighting was taken in consideration.
Everything they've made has been improperly weighted in my view. And I blame the touch screens for that because they make things very top heavy.
Now, Paul, you look like you're getting frustrated. What's going on?
No, this is what I was saying earlier. I mean, I this is like I've just described the most beautiful woman in the world, and she's like, she's a hag.
I don't know if it's that bad. It's more like you describe the most beautiful person in the world, and then she's like, nose is kind of off.
Yeah, exactly right. I don't think it's properly weighted. Like, well, I mean, from my perspective, this is subjective. I mean,
it is totally subjective.
Mary Jo obviously has something wrong with her lap. I don't know. It's a weird thing to discuss, but I think, no, I mean, look, a different machine for every person for sure.
Right.
I mean,
yes.
Did you lap PC makers that,
sorry, did you lap the 13 or the 15? Sorry to interrupt.
15.
Paul.
Okay. The 15.
Maybe the 13 would be better.
Yeah. I think based on the machines you've been, you would be better off with a 13 for sure.
And yeah, I
think
like you should. 15 inches. I don't.
Yeah. No, you should seriously think about reviewing this. I'm really
joining
giving
that,
it a shot.
That camp that's saying, I want to see Mary Jo review this. So
okay. Yeah,
I think now you have.
I mean it. And look, you may come out and say, look, it is very good. It's not what I want. It's not as good as some of the other ones I've used. Yeah. That's fine. I mean,
I should give it another
like
try.
I said, this is something I should. About it. Yeah,
I agree. I'm gonna ask to review it. Lately, I've not been getting any surfaces to review because they know I don't like the hardware, so they won't give them to me to review. So,
well, I think your review is more valuable than most, honestly, because you will be totally objective about it. Mm. Whereas I am already in love with it, and I don't care how bad it is. I'm gonna give it a good. Would never do that. But I've always wanted a 15 inch.
Yeah. I know you want a 15-inch, right?
Yeah, the Surface, the 15-inch Surface Book is too big. This is a huge, thick, heavy. It's a portable workstation. I don't need something that hefty, you know.
Yep.
So this is to me is like, oh my god, they finally did it. They did that thing I've been asking for. Because other PC makers, HP does 15-inch versions of some of their Spectre X360, for example, but not really on the business side. And the same problem. I do like the screen real estate, but they're just too big, heavy, hard to carry. You know, as you walk around like we did yesterday, I get a backpack on my shoulder and it's, you know, digging a notch into me because, you know, I brought this 4-pound monstrosity with me.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, I think this thing is awesome.
I thought it was awesome too. I was looking at it and going, oh, okay. How often do I appear on Windows Weekly? Does it justify? No, it's a very
getting
pretty.
Getting some review hardware?
Here's a clue. I think it does. It does.
We do have to talk about, obviously, the Foldy devices. But before we get there, I want to tell you about Worldwide Technology. That's WWT, which created their Advanced Technology Center, or ATC, 10 years ago, and it has grown exponentially. It's like no other testing and research lab. The lab contains more than $500 million in equipment from hundreds of OEMs and key partners, ranging from high-tech heavyweights like Intel, Dell EMC, HPE, and Cisco, to emerging disruptors. WWT is a trusted partner who stays with you over the years. Many of their customers have been with them for over a decade, because they know WWT is where they can go to get the answers they need to make sure their business runs right. Their ATC is an incubator for IT innovation and offers hundreds of on-demand and schedulable labs representing the newest advances in multi-cloud architecture, artificial intelligence, IoT solutions, and including the latest solutions based on Intel, like the FPGA Acceleration Lab, Intel Select solutions like VMware, vSAN Labs, and cutting-edge solutions based on Intel's second-generation Xeon scalable processor and the latest Optane data center persistent memory. WWT engineers work in these labs every day, beta testing new edge-to-cloud solutions based on the latest and greatest Intel technologies and building reference architectures and custom integrations to help their customers make decisions and see results faster and with much less investment. To learn more about WWT, the ATC, and to sign up for access to their new on-demand lab platform, all you have to do is head to WWT.com/twit and create an account today. WWT simplifies the complex. That's WWT.com/twit. WWT, delivering business and technology outcomes around the world. We have dinner plate, headbuds, earbuds.
Yep.
And that was...
They're like little Chinese stars you can flick at your enemies.
Yeah. Yeah, those, I like the idea of the gestures. I think that's great. And I understand then you do kind of have to make them a little bit bigger for properly doing those gestures. But I can't wait to see Mary Jo Foley rocking these Microsoft Surface earbuds. Yeah. You're totally going to drop $250 on them, right?
Nope. They are as ugly as the Apple AirPods. And that's a low bar right there.
Yikes. And she's right, actually. So actually, we do agree on one thing.
Okay, there we go. We found some common ground.
Wow, I was worried. See, that's actually when I said I was going to do this. They told me if you don't find common ground, then you have to leave. So I'm glad I was able to find common ground.
This show can't end until there is common ground.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. So those earbuds. Those earbuds, don't they look like something that was like maybe being tested in a lab somewhere? And they were like, you know, don't worry, we're going to actually make them look good by the time we ship them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so there are earbuds with this type of design, like the Samsung Galaxy Buds, where the surface, the circle part of, the exterior, whatever that is, is, you know, the size of a dime, maybe, whatever.
Yeah.
These are like the size of a dollar. Yeah. Like a dollar coin
they're
or
big.
Or Susan B. Anthony coin
they're,
from the.
Yeah, they're they really are. Big.
they are.
And I'm not sure that gesture support justifies the size, but this is a little bit like Alcantara on the Surface laptop where they're like, we have to differentiate. What can we do?
Did you see it fall out of her ear at one point?
Yeah.
No.
You didn't? You missed that? Yeah, at one point the thing just goes plop and fell into her hand and she's kind of smiled, put it back in really quick. And
that is amazing.
It's got, because you'd think about it, like a nice airstream toward your ear and it's just going to go flying like an umbrella across the.
The funny thing is, I use Samsung Galaxy Buds and I have the opposite problem. I can't use them walking. Because they make a little tone when they're coming out of ears, and it does that tone as I walk. So you're like,
oh my God.
To my steps. It is in no danger of coming out of my ear at all. It's very securely in there. It's fine. But it's maddening. So I can wear them at the gym. It's fine. But if I go out, if I just like walking from the gym to the car, just that short space, it's already like, oh God, stop. It's the worst. they probably weigh like a pound each or something.
Well, see, that's so you can wear them at the gym, and when you take them out, you're like three times stronger. You basically been training yourself.
Your ears are pumped. Are you wearing those Surface Buds?
Oh, bro, do you lift your ears? I know we're running out of time, and so we've got to get to Neo and Duo, which, by the way, they absolutely tricked me because when Ant and I were covering the show yesterday, the Neo happened, and then I went to sort of, hey, thank you to our sponsors, we're going, goodbye, and then I looked back,
amazing.
And there's a video of this device, and I'm like, that looks smaller than the Neo does, and then they said Duo, and so they got me, they really got me. But we've got foldable devices.
I think they got
devices.
Everybody on that one, you know?
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. So,
what do we say about this?
What is there to say?
Mary Jo and I may agree on this as well, now that I'm thinking about it. We both have questioned the point of a dual screen Windows device. And we've been doing that for years. This has been rumored for a long time.
It is.
I don't feel, and I waited and waited and waited for someone to stand up and say, here's the justification. This is why it makes sense. It never came. And then they said, hey, we're doing a phone. And I'm like, oh, cool. They're doing the phone. And then it was a dual screen phone. And I thought, you know what? Actually, on a phone, this makes sense. And they did justify it very quickly and easily by saying, you know, there are those times where you're doing something like making a phone call and someone says, hey, what's the address of the restaurant? Or what time are you going to meet at blah, blah, blah? And you have to do something else. And if you can have the two things going at once, it kind of, that those kinds of things help. Or, you know, the standard thing with a dual screen or a folding screen phone where you open up the maps and you get a much bigger view. Or now I want to read a book and I have a bigger screen for that. Or watch a movie or whatever it is. But the PC.
Yeah.
All you're doing is snapping things to the side. We have this already and there's nothing, there isn't a piece of metal in the middle. Like what?
Yeah.
What's the benefit? So are we on board with that?
Yeah, we are. So the PC, the main difference is like, I've seen a lot of people say Duo is the smaller version of Neo, right? But Neo is the thing that runs Windows. It's the thing that was codenamed Centaurus that we've written about for like over a year, I think. And every time we wrote about it, we said, yeah, it's kind of cool. It's like the courier that they canceled and it looks like a book. But every time we were like, yeah, but why do you need a third device? You got a phone, you got a PC, and now you get this. And what's the point? I agree with Paul. They didn't make a compelling use case. They're like, yeah, you know, we're blending work and life and you want different size devices, but this isn't a small device. Like each of those panels is 9 inches, right? It's not
pocketable. Each of them is like it's like two Surface Minis stacked.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I don't quite get
but then
it.
The phone. Here's the phone though. I think we differ on because.
Oh, okay.
No, Paul and I both heard rumors about Microsoft making an Android phone earlier this year. We both heard this. And we both agreed, like, should we report this and get everybody all excited? It doesn't really seem like this is going to happen, right?
Well, I think the way I would put it is, I didn't think it should happen. But you got to remember.
I still do not.
At the time I thought, because we've talked about this on the show. I mean,
yeah.
The notion of Microsoft getting into the phone business sounds ludicrous on the face of things, but they're not coming out with a Windows phone. It's an Android phone. And then you say, well, yeah, but there are a lot of Android phones. Like, why would they do that? And you could make the argument they push their launcher and all their software and services and everything. That's fine. I think there are cases to be made for businesses that are in the Microsoft ecosystem that want highly managed devices with Intune and everything. And they're already selling Surface devices to them. There's another thing they can sell, and it kind of makes sense on some level, whatever. But, we talked, you know, economically about the ease at which a phone business could become a $1 billion business and, you know, whatever. But all of that was predicated on this being like a phone, a phone. So yeah. When you see that it's I thought it was going to happen. I thought it was going to be a phone. I thought that was a mistake. Now that I see a dual screen device, now I think, okay, actually this makes some sense.
I don't.
And I think it makes more sense than a folding screen.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
From a reliability perspective.
Reliability. How do you mean reliability?
Because there's the Samsung fold devices have come out and they're already breaking.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I agree with you there. 1,000%. That's kind of been, people have been asking me, you know, what is my take on that? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that the two screen things make sense. What was upsetting to me in the conversation was how he kept saying at one point, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but basically he said that split between the two screens is what drives creative flow. And I'm like, what are you saying?
That's called making lemonade, right?
Yeah.
So he also said something that I think is unsubstantiated, although different people from Microsoft tried to say otherwise to me after the show, but which is that it's a known fact that when you have two screens side by side, you're more creative your brain expands or it opens, whatever you said.
Activates.
And I'm like, there is no way. I'm sorry. All of us have used two screens side by side. You have a laptop and a phone. Mm-hmm. Or I lay up on the bed. Sometimes I have three things up there. You know, I'll tell you what the extra screens are. They're distractions. Yeah. And I don't think that having a line, if that line exploded creativity, you could put it on your computer right now. Go ahead.
Right. Let me
put
just
a piece of aluminum right in the middle of your screen.
I know.
Just fold this up.
Yeah. that's a ludicrous assertion.
One of the interesting things yesterday was the promo lead up to them showing the phone showed a woman answering a phone and talking on it like a phone. Then when everyone wrote about it as a phone, Microsoft's like, yeah, but it's not a phone. I'm like, you just showed it as a phone. It's a phone.
And there was a ringtone that occurred that echoed through the room.
And it's like, sure, I don't always use my phone as a phone. In fact, I almost never make calls on my phone. But
that thing is a phone. Most phones are not used. Just right. Exactly.
Right.
I'll send it to you. I've got my line that expands my creativity here.
Oh, I love it.
You know what? Wow. I think my brain
just
grew
creative?
And I've got 1,000 more neurons.
Excellent. Right. We all need this.
Right. It's like, you were using 10% of your brain before and now you're using like 12%.
Yes. I was only.
Or whatever.
Oh, God. I think that these devices, you know, I saw them yesterday and as I was looking at them, it was like, ooh, these are very pretty. God, why did they call it the Wonder Bar? But the switching back and forth the keyboard Wunderbar. To be able to flip that up and have the trackpad at the bottom, I thought that was pretty clever stuff.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah. They weren't originally going to do that. And when they started testing this device with actual people, one of the big pieces of feedback they got was you got to have a keyboard thing that pops up on the bottom.
Yeah.
And they just added it kind of at the last minute and I think that's one of the things that's going to help sell it. If you're familiar with Microsoft's keyboards, you'll recognize that keyboard is something that looks very, very much like their mobile Bluetooth keyboard. In fact, I think it's the exact same size and shape, which is fine. I mean, I don't mean that as anything facetious, but other than that, it means it's very small, you know? So if you think the Surface Go is small with your little T-Rex hands trying to type on the thing, you know, this thing is probably even smaller and whatever, it's fine. Well, I don't know if it's fine, but it is what it is. So
there you go.
I just don't. Is it fine? I don't know if it's fine, to be honest, but I think the phone thing duo, right, is very interesting. And actually, Mary Jo, I'm curious what you think about this, because I'm not sure if you were there when he said this, but we were hanging out in front of that salad bar thing, you know, in the back after the event, and some group of us, I don't remember exactly who was there, but Tom Warren from The Verge was talking about how he thought this signaled Microsoft getting into Android more and more, and that this Android will eventually replace Windows at Microsoft. Like, this will be the first one, and then they'll do like a tablet thing and a 2-in-1, and there'll be a pro version. And, you know, that this is like, this is the direction. Like, they don't care about the platform anymore. But my take on this was like, actually, if anything, I saw a bigger commitment to Windows at this event than I've seen at Microsoft for years. Like, they've introduced.
Yeah.
Remember the biggest rumor about Windows Lite, which became kind of like Lite OS, was, and we'd heard this from multiple people, they will never use the name Windows in this because they don't want to associate it with Windows. They want people to think of something else. But that's not what they did at all. They made another version of Windows 10. And I actually, if anything, I mean, look, you go to Android on the phone because that's where the phones are.
Right.
But everywhere else, it's Windows. And obviously they have Android apps, so it's not really that big of a deal. So I sort of saw it in the opposite than he did. I'm just curious. I don't know if you were there. I don't remember if you were there, but
I was there. Yep.
Oh, you were there. Okay. So what do you think? Yep. I mean, what's your take on that?
I think Windows is not going to go away in our lifetime. Like, I always hear people saying, oh, they're going all Linux. They're going all Android. As long as we are covering technology, there will be Windows and there will be businesses still using Windows. So Microsoft will never back away completely from Windows. They're not just going to go, you know what? We don't care about the OS anymore. And you know what? We're the Android company now. No, they're not going to do that, right? I think the only reason they went Android on the phone is because Windows phones lost and there is no room for a third player. It's Android or iOS. Mm. So they're just being realistic and saying, if we think we should do a mobile device as in the form of a phone, it has to be Android or iOS, and it can't be iOS.
If you can't beat them, join them is the duo.
Yep.
Yeah. And Android is an open ecosystem. And by the way, from a timing perspective, the EU, Russia, the United States, we're all looking at Google. The EU has made specific action against Android. This is the best time to license Android that there is. Google's not going to go after anybody. You know, they're under the microscope. You know, the world has changed. You know, you don't have to worry about them going after you because you changed Android in some way or you wanted to do a certain, I don't want to, you know, have the Google apps be the default or whatever. Like, this is not a problem anymore.
Mm.
That makes sense. Well, any other things that you want to talk about from the event? I saw afterward that there were some Q&A going on, which I found interesting. Is that a typical thing at a Microsoft event that Satya Nadella and others are available for Q&As?
No. Oh, well. Satya never goes to these. So I should mention the Satya thing, you know. Whatever anyone thinks of Satya Nadella, I think he's a little stiff as a speaker. Mm-hmm. I don't think Microsoft always uses him correctly. I think he's pretty good on the vision stuff. And I've often suggested that really, instead of coming out and doing this 2-hour long thing where people come out on stage and do demos, they should save him for the end where he kind of wraps it all up and, you know, puts it in perspective. And the way they used him at this event, I thought was very good. It might be the first time I've ever thought that. He came out, he did a very short bit up front. They did the event. Wasn't all Panos, by the way. I thought that was kind of interesting, too. Usually it's all Panos, pretty much.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Right? There was a woman on stage with the earbuds and so forth, and also the pro, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then at the end, they brought him back. And again, it was very short, you know, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever it was. So I thought that was good. And I thought that was smart. Mm-hmm. I thought that was maybe well done.
Yeah. Yeah, but we don't get to talk. So that's one other thing we should make clear to everybody who's listening. Like, people are asking us, so how was it when you held the Duo or touched the Neo or whatever? We weren't allowed to do that. Only certain reporters got access to that, just like only certain reporters got access to Panos, right? So at the end, they do Q&As, but they didn't do them with us, right? They do them with, like, the BBC or somebody. Well, there
was you were in the room when the right? – so on the stage I asked you. I still don't know who it was, but I said, you know, who was that over there interviewing?
I think it was
Sachin
a BBC
Nadella.
Reporter.
Yeah. So I was kind of in the room for it. So I heard it and, you know, he asked him some questions, whoever it was said, you know, I think back to back, the questions were about Cortana and Windows Phone, which are like their two biggest, you know, client side failures in recent years, which he just kind of deflected. But I thought that was kind of interesting. It clearly wasn't you can only ask him certain questions. We're only going to talk about the stuff we, you know.
Yeah.
They just asked him whatever and whatever, he handled it fine.
Right. We didn't get to do Q&A. I wrote on my site for anybody who wants to see it. I did a Q&A with myself because no one would talk to me about
oh my god, I have to see this.
How sad is that?
No, Windows 10X. I did it in a FAQ format, like for people who want to understand what is Windows 10X. So I asked myself some questions,
good ones, I thought.
And then answered them to the best of my ability.
You should record this and publish it as something that people can download of you.
Where you could have like a split screen thing.
It would just
be like the Neo. You'd have to wear like a different top in the video.
If you use that new chip that Microsoft came out with, then you'll make sure the eyes are looking in the right way too.
Exactly.
So one thing I don't remember if we talked about this or not. So as far as Windows 10X goes, right?
Yeah.
This system that will only target folding and dual screen machines, at least at first, right?
Yep.
Is, although we were got mixed signals ahead of time, but is apparently this thing that was Windows Lite and then Lite OS, right? Mm-hmm. And and we
like
thought
Santorini,
because we've
right.
Yeah, we've seen images of this system in the past, and it looked exactly like Chromebook. And I mean almost literally exactly like Chromebook. And so the assumption is, you hear they're making this Lite OS. They're not going to brand it as Windows. It looks exactly like Chromebook. It is probably a Chromebook-type system that Microsoft is making based on the Windows Core, probably with the new Edge. They went to Chromium, rather. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
And then they announce it, and it's Windows. You know, in fact, it's a better Windows in many ways, right? Because it does that thing that those previous systems didn't do, which is bring the past forward in a way that's safe and secure and reliable and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, my theory is that this thing becomes Windows, you know, over time. That this is not going to be relegated only to dual and folding screen devices over time. You know?
Yeah. So I disagree. So Windows 10X is only going to be for dual screens and foldables. That's it. But Paul's right. Like, the underpinnings that make this thing cool, the thing called Windows Core OS, that is going to go in more places, right? And then they're going to modify it for the different form factors. So like Surface Hub 2X, it won't run Windows. I really, really do not think it will run Windows 10X, but I think it will run Windows 10 something. Maybe they'll give it another letter, Z, whatever.
Windows 10 or Duo 3.
Yeah. But it'll use all that Windows Core. It'll use all the goodness underneath, right? Windows Core OS and this container thing, so you can run Win32 apps virtually on top of the OS, and you don't have to just have store apps. That'll be
for years have been saying that the future of this platform has to be some virtualization / container solution for running the old stuff in a way that doesn't blow the system up. It has to be.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that once you do that, you can move past the past and have the actual system be just the modern stuff. And so I see Windows 10X and I'm like, that's it. This is it. Yep. And they're going to test market it publicly with a very small group of people, because not that many people are going to buy this, and see how it goes, you know, and
holiday 2020.
And then we'll see, you know, it will take a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think this is it. I think this is it. You know, they literally gave us a glimpse of the future, but I think it was a broader glimpse of the future than they indicated, because obviously you don't want to blow up sales of your existing stuff. If Microsoft announces that Windows won't exist in 3 years, you know,
right.
would be a stupid marketing
Absolutely.
Message.
All right. Well, we are going to have to round out the show here. Windows Weekly records live typically every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 11 a.m. Pacific, 1800 UTC. So you can tune in live to watch the show and participate in the chat. But you don't have to do that. You can, of course, subscribe in whatever app you might be listening to right now. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all those different podcatcher apps, as some call them, or check it out on YouTube. It's everywhere. Mary Jo Foley of All About Microsoft, thanks so much for your time this week.
Thank you. Thanks for doing our show with us again.
Absolutely. Yeah. I enjoy it, especially if it gets me a Surface device of some sort. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I really do enjoy it. And Paul Thurrott of Thurrott.com, thank you so much.
No, thank you. I mean, we should say, you know, we had a scheduling mishap, unfortunately. So people who are wondering about the back of the book stuff, whatever, the slightly shorter time frame, that's why. And, you know, thank you guys for accommodating the change. I know you basically got out of bed or something or whatever.
I rushed in.
Rushing over.
I ran very quickly.
Yeah. No, thank you. So thank you. I mean, it was kind of scrambling because it's tough. I'm going away and won't be around for until tomorrow afternoon. So,
all right. Well, we thank you. And yeah, no problemo here. Folks, that is going to do it for us.